What up, my dudes, and welcome to the best things about pro wrestling this month, the show where we talk about some of the best things about pro wrestling this month, whether it's a match, segment, character development, or anything between. This is a show where we celebrate anything and everything pro wrestling in any given month. I'm Omar, the same host that believes David Otunga is legit the greatest of all time. If you count WWE 13's music algorithm, cue the music. Oh, way young. You like that intro? If you like that intro, hit that 5 stars on Apple and Spotify. So if you like that intro. But anyways, before I want to talk about January 2023, I want to say first off, rest in peace to Jay Briscoe, one half of the Briscoe brothers. Just gone too soon. I mean, when I read the news, everyone, not only everyone, but including me, everyone was shocked, and including myself. Like, it kind of sucked that, like, we lost such a great wrestler. Not only a great, one half of, like, literally the greatest tag teams in the history, not only ROH, but, like, the history of professional wrestling. Rest in peace. Condolences to the family and all those affected, because look, he is literally like he and his brother had one of the greatest tag team matches I've seen in quite some time with FTR, the greatest matches I've seen, like, last year. So the fact that it's just a tragedy, man. Like, I read the news and it's just, it sucks. Just, I want to say rest in power to Jay Briscoe. So before I want to talk about what happened in January 2023, I want to give some housekeeping. First of all, I'm now a contributor to bodyslam.net. So if you want to read some of my articles on bodyslam.net, it's just Omar MA. You can just check out the website. It's on the editorial section. I'm just there. I'm just going to, you know, it's just a way for me to, like, express my love for professional wrestling, even when like, I retired my blog, like, months back. I still want to write. I still want to do the editorials, because those were, like, the best things. Not, no pun intended, but it was, like, one of my favorite things to do. So yeah, hit that 5 stars for that weird tangent. But nevertheless, yeah, I am a contributor to Body Slam, and expect a new article coming really, really soon. It has to do with black excellence. You know, it's just, the theme is just black excellence. But yeah, just look out for that. And if you actually rate the show 5 stars, that would be a great appreciation, because if you do, I might actually shout you out. So, but yeah, let's talk about January 2023. I feel like that month was like a year worth of content just squished into one, because a lot of shit happened. So let's just get into it, right? January 2023. And let's talk about the honorable mention. But first, let's talk about the Vince McMahon situation, because that, courtesy, by the way, shout out to Hassan from Tech Talk. Please follow me on TikTok at Best Things About Pro Rest 1. I'm at like 19 followers. Just let me hit that 20. Please just go on TikTok.com/Best Things About Pro Wrestling 1. But yeah, let's talk about the Vince McMahon situation. First, Vince was alleged. So Vince McMahon thought about coming back in December. He was finding ways to come back, to plot his ways to come back. Then in January, he joined the board. After Stephanie McMahon left, which, it's not a coincidence. Like, every time Vince comes back, Stephanie leaves. I mean, come on. Like, it's not a coincidence at this point. So, Stephanie left. Vince came back. And not only he became a board member, but he became a chairman once again. And then, not only that, but he joined the board along two of the former WWE co-presidents. One of them is George Barrios, who, by the way, has a bigger forehead than Dwayne The Rock Johnson when Dwayne The Rock Johnson had hair. So then the rumors going around that he was going to sell the WWE to the Saudi Public Investment Fund, which turns out it was reported by DAZN and later by Body Slam. What a way to, like, join the site, and then, like, a big news happened that was secondly reported by Body Slam. So that was insane. But anyways, so yeah, it turns out it was just a rumor, which, by the way, thank God. Everyone out here was talking about the ethics of journalism in professional wrestling, in wrestling media. Meanwhile, I was like, you know, good, it didn't happen, thank goodness. So, but yeah, like, now he's getting sued by what feels like the millionth shareholder. So yeah, Vince is in a weird tangent, not a weird tangent, but he's in a very weird predicament right now. and in a predicament that honestly, I feel like Vince should just get the fuck out of here, honestly. Like, the company, he's such an egotistical piece of shit that he wouldn't just leave the company. You know, he wouldn't, like, let others just, like, take the reins and just rule, not rule, but, like, reign WWE and just, you know, just rule the company and, you know, run the company, you know, without, you know, having a 70-some, in what feels like a 100-year-old corpse, walking corpse, basically. So, but yeah, I wanted to say something else regarding Vince McMahon. Oh yeah, now, the question that I've thought about is, will Vince McMahon come back as part of creative? And the answer is no. I don't think he's gonna show up. At best, I do think he's gonna give some sort of like advice, some sort of like food for thought. Not food for thought, but like, I mean, his creative isn't food for thought, but you get my point. I do think that Vince McMahon will, at best, he's just gonna give some advice to Triple H. That's all it is, but that's like the closest thing he's ever gonna be part of the creative process, and nothing else. I think Vince is just gonna be part of the business side and only the business side. And if that's the case, as somebody who just watches WWE from a creative perspective and a storytelling perspective only, I think that's like the best that's the best position Vince should be. You know, just stay away from creative. I don't want to see any distraction finishes anymore. I don't want to see the can they coexist storyline anymore. Just stay away. So the answer is no. I don't think Vince is coming back as head of creative, you know, for reasons that I just mentioned earlier. So yeah, that is my thoughts on the Vince McMahon story. And let's just talk about the honorable mentions, because that one was not an honorable mention. That was a dishonorable mention, because we don't want Vince McMahon being in the company at all. You feel me? So yeah, let's talk about the honorable mention. Number one is Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay for the IWGP United States Championship. That match was great because I feel like it proved that, you know, when people think of Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, they think of like the flippy shit. And I know wrestling is subjective. I mean, all entertainment is subjective. But I do think when people think of Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, they think, oh, they just do the flippy shit. But if you actually watch this match had like great in-ring psychology. I think it kind of proves that like Will Ospreay can do more than just the flippy shit. And it's also like, speaking of the Elite, the Young Bucks, I do think, you know, when you matches with FTR kind of showed me a different side of the Young Bucks that I've never seen before in professional wrestling. Kind of was that the Young Bucks is more than just, and Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay, they're just great wrestlers that can tell a great story in the ring, and they're more than just the flippy shit. They can actually tell a story in the 20x20 squared circle. You feel me? So I do think that was a great match, probably one of the best match of the year so far. And I know a very young 2023, and I know it's not saying much because, like I said, it is very young. It is 2023. I mean, we're in February, so it's like, bear, like, you know, it's a young year, you know, you feel me. So yeah, speaking of New Japan, another thing that happened in Wrestle Kingdom is Okada versus Jay White for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And I do think, and yeah, speaking of the IWGP, speaking of New Japan, apparently Jay White is exiting out of New Japan. Apparently he's looking for work in America. I do think AEW makes a lot of sense, but I also do think that WWE is another great option just because it's a different scenery compared to, like, because, you know, the Elite brand is just him, Omega, the Young Bucks, you know, you know, the New Japan kind of alumni, Bullet Club kind of alumni. I do think that is the area that makes sense that he could be a part of. But I also do think I don't mind him being in WWE. I think that would make a lot of sense. It's either the two big promotions, WWE or AEW, but I do think AEW is the better way to go. So yeah, shout out to Sean Rossap for that report on him leaving New Japan and staying in America. So shout out to Sean Rossap. You know what I mean? By the way, speaking of Sean Rossap, I remember when this dude had like the soccer mom hairstyle. That's how long I've been watching this dude. Like, I remember back in 2018, 17, he had the soccer mom kind of hairstyle. That's how long I've been watching. Shout out to Fightful, man. They're killing it right now. I remember when they had like 2,000 subs. Now they're like around almost 100. So shout out to them. They're doing at least on YouTube. So they're doing great stuff. Shout out to Sean Rossap. Like, legit. Like, as a longtime fan, seeing somebody who could like rank up and literally become the credible authority in wrestling journalism is awesome. So shout out to Fightful, shout out to Sean Rush, Sean Ross Sapp, shout out to him. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Now, honorable mention number four is Asuka's new persona, new look in the Royal Rumble, when in the Women's Royal Rumble. She showed up with this new face new face paint, inspired by her days in Kana, as when she was Kana in Japan back in the day, right? And I think this is great for a multitude of reasons. Number one, I feel like Asuka needed that change of scenery, because I feel like at this point she was getting a little too stale. At this point, I think that new character reinvention made a lot of sense. So that's number one. Number two, although she's very successful in WWE, she's the Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion, you know, WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, NXT Women's Champion, but at the same time, I do think while she's successful, I don't think they've made the most out of her reign, if that makes any, with the exception of her NXT run. I do think they haven't made the most out of her title. It's like going to like an ice cream shop and taking like some, like a taste, but not the whole, you know, the whole ice cream. And I think that's what, you know, Asuka is like. She's like, I feel like they haven't made the most out of her run, in my opinion, despite the fact that she's extremely successful, but at the same time they haven't made the most out of her run. So, but yeah, I do think this is a great character reinvention for her, and I think it's great. I'm hoping nothing but the best for her. So yeah, that is that's the third honorable mention. The fourth and final honorable mention before we get into the main show is unusual, because it's not a match, it's not a show, it's not a segment, but rather a great wrestling fan story, courtesy of Xander Ellis11, who, by the way, was a recent guest on my show a few months ago. So if you want to check it out, just go to the previous shows and just check it out. But yeah, so I want to talk about, and this is the reason why I included this is because it's a story about how he basically, it's a great what I like to call it is basically it's wholesome wrestling shit, you know what I mean? It's one of the most wholesome things I've ever read. It's the most wholesome wrestling story you will probably hear all day. So let's just get into that story. So basically, he showed up, he went into Impact Wrestling's Hard to Kill pay-per-view, which, by the way, what a great metaphor for Impact Wrestling, hard to kill, because they have been hard to kill, because no matter how hard they've been in this industry, they're pretty much hard to kill, because there were times where, like, you would think that Impact Wrestling would be bankrupt, it would be out of business, but they're still here, so shout out to them. So yeah, he went to the Hard to Kill pay-per-view and had the Joy Hendry sign, and it says that he's had that sign for, he's like, the last time he's been on, the last time he's met Joy Hendry was like 2000 something days, and some dude with a suit, and let's just call him Don Callis, because why not? Because when I think of that story, I think of Don Callis. I don't know why, but yeah, just Don. So let's just call him Don Callis. And man with the suit was like, "Hey, why did it take you that long to see Joy Hendry?" And he was like, and Xander was like, "Oh, you know, like he's a European guy. He's been on the European shows, and the few times he's been in America, like, he couldn't afford it." So he was like, "I bet, so I'll hook you up, I'll take you to the Impact Wrestling tapings tomorrow night." And he was like, "Okay." So they gave him a free ticket. Not only they gave him a free ticket and everything, so he had the same exact sign. He went to the Impact Wrestling show the very next day with a free ticket with that same sign. Not only that, Joe Hendry did see him. He saw the sign, and he was at the end of the taping. He not only saw the sign, shook the man's hand, and said he basically appreciated him. Took a picture and appreciated him for waiting that long to kind of see Joy Hendry, because, you know, Xander is a fan of him, and he's a fan of Impact Wrestling as a whole. So yeah, I like to call this the most wholesome wrestling story I think you've ever heard in your life. I know I've not made that I know I've not made that story justice, but yeah, hopefully you can hear this story, because this is one of the reason why I include this in honorable mentions, because this is what wrestling is all about. Every company, every storyteller wants to do. They want to make that impact to a fan that they would never forget. And I feel like that is, shout out to Impact Wrestling, and shout out to Joe Hendry for making that moment happen for my man Xander. So yeah, without further ado, let's get into the main show with Conor Lawler of Heroes for Hire podcast. So yeah, take it away, Omar.
All right, so my next guest
for the best things about pro wrestling this month is a rather different one. He is not a wrestling writer. He is not a wrestling personality. Hell, he is not even a wrestling manager. Although every wrestling fan feels like they're a fucking wrestling manager or a wrestling writer because they feel like they just want to book a wrestling show every 5 minutes. Like, I can do this shit better. Because they looked at that Hell in a Cell 2019 ending as like, I can do this shit better. Which I don't blame them because that ending fucking sucked. So my guest at this time is one half of the Heroes for Hire podcast. And for some reason, some dude is just yelling for no fucking reason. I'm recording on a balcony, by the way, because full context, I got guests on my house, the folks like in my house today, and they're fucking loud as shit. So I'm just recording on the balcony, and you guys are just gonna embrace it. You know, it is what it is. You know, I'm introducing one half of the Heroes for Hire podcast. I'm telling you right now, one of the funniest dudes I've ever heard, and based on like the few images I've seen on Facebook, I'm gonna glow this up for a little bit. That dude is, I'm not gonna lie, man, you're legit a decent looking guy, a decent looking dude, and he's funny as shit and a funny ass accent. I'm here with Colin Lawler of the Heroes for Hire podcast, and by the way, to side note once again, he's not a wrestling person, although he is a wrestling fan, so that's why I brought him in. I mean, why the fuck would you listen to it? But you know, hit that 5 stars though. So Connor, was good.
What an intro. I've never been a guest on a podcast. I mean, you can already tell straight away that I have the Irish accent. So yeah, as you said, I'm one half of the Heroes for Hire podcast. We're kind of like movies and comic books and weird news and that kind of stuff. But I have been a wrestling fan for years and years and years. And I know that we kind of met years back. In like a Facebook
we've
group,
met
I'm
on a
sure.
We met on a Facebook group. I think it was the Passion the Nerd Facebook group. Although shout out to Ian, by the way, he's a great dude.
We met
on a Facebook. Great dude, and he does some great. He has a great fucking voice. He was born to be a radio host or some shit, man. He's just really fucking good. But he has the voice of God. You know what I mean? He has that voice.
I definitely don't anyway. I can tell you that for a fact. My co-host Sean, he actually does have, he sounds like Chris O'Dowd from the IT Crowd, which is the Silky Toads, but he doesn't like wrestling. So you got the worst half, but someone who might know what you're talking about.
I mean, meanwhile, I'm gonna make you feel like 1,000 years old, like Aang style, Aang from the Avatar: Last Airbender. But I'm like, even though I'm in my early 20s, I sound like I'm 14, and I've had that same voice since I was 13. Like literally, so I was like, come on, puberty, come on, testosterone, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I have a feud with you that I really want to pick up here. You literally brought me on. You had Chris Muller, the dog Chris Muller, on a few weeks ago.
Great dude, by the way. Yeah, that's
great dude. Who actually, I remember reading his Raw reviews on Bleacher Report in like 2011 when the summer of CM Punk was happening. And that was kind of what got me into all that stuff. But you brought him on a few months ago. And you've literally brought me on, someone who's not in the wrestling world, on literally the most action-filled, important month probably for about maybe 5 or 6 years.
I mean, to be fair, and I've said this for, and I've said this, not said this, but like I've thought about this for years. Wrestling is like the closest thing to a fantastic live-action anime, if you actually think about it. A great shonen anime, you know? If you're disappointed at Dragon Ball Evolution, which who wasn't, by the way, just watch a good Monday Night Raw episode where you know they can tell a story for like the 13th time, that narrative that they could tell you for the 13th time. Can they coexist? What a great narrative.
I suppose you should really say that at the start of every episode of Can They Coexist about you and your host.
Okay.
Just.
Oh yeah, that's well. Well, to be fair, I do, like, on one month, I do it by myself, and the other is when I do to the guest host, so it's like, I don't know. Do I coexist? The answer is probably not, depending on my schedule. But
well, I feel very honored that you chose me anyway for this month.
Yeah, because I'm a fan of your fucking show, man. Like, you're legitimately hilarious. Like, I remember you recommended to me one of your podcasts, like, I think it was in 2018, and you're like, I don't know why I just imagined you saying that, but just hear me out, right? And you were like, hey, yo, son, can you check out my podcast, bro? You know, I'm a radio guy, you know what I mean? You know, I'm a decent-looking Irish dude from some whatever Irish place. I don't know, like, you know, just check out my stuff. You know, we talk about comic books and all that. I was like, sure, whatever. And I was like, yo, this dude is fucking funny.
That was so weird. That was like there was two of me. That was actually pretty strange.
I know. I don't know why I pretended like you. I don't know why I pretended you speaking with an AAVE, like African-American vernacular English. I don't know why. I should have done it in my shitty Irish accent, which I'm not going to attempt, by the way. I am a dude with this accent. A dude with this accent doing an Irish accent? Fuck no. I'm not doing that shit. That is the accent that Americans think they could do, but they can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, so I was kind of coming on. I was a bit nervous because I've never actually talked about like wrestling in sort of a critical way. I talk about movies every single week in a critical way. And I suppose wrestling is
really
kind of...
critical way? Come on.
In a very loosely critical, we sometimes say that movie was good, and then sometimes the movie's bad. But most of the time, we're like, "Ah, it's grand." To be honest, it's who cares. But with wrestling, can be slightly different. So I was a bit nervous coming on. I didn't know where we were going to start. And hopefully, I have some sort of insight that I can kind of offer on these things.
I love that you brought up the sentence that you said earlier, whatever, who cares? That's basically my review for Morbius.
That's true.
I mean, that is true.
Release it again, Sony. I promise. I'll go see it this time.
Number one movie on Apple TV, by the way. Number one movie on Apple TV.
Deserves it. What a movie.
So, speaking of superhero stuff, I gotta ask you that question because I know you're gonna talk about it on your Movie Mondays segment, but I'm just gonna ask you anyways. What are your thoughts on the announcement of James Gunn's slate of new DCEU film, DCU films, like the new films that is coming out? Based on what I've seen, it's like basically a reboot. Maybe, I don't know. I guess maybe, I don't know. Like, it's like, oh, we'll keep this person, but we'll not keep that person. I don't fucking know.
I think they all agree. Everyone driving past all agrees as well. I see all the movies they're releasing. I think it's probably a great idea. Now, call me old fashioned to maybe have a plan, and I think that could probably be a good thing moving forward. I'm just glad somebody's come up with some sort of plan rather than just going movie to movie and making a stuff up as they go along.
I mean, isn't that Zack Snyder's career, basically? You know, let me just make stuff up, you know what I mean?
Looks pretty, though. It always looks pretty. I'll give him that.
Oh, it always does. You know, it always does. Exactly. Yeah. Like I said, I'm very, very confused. I came out of that announcement confused more than ever, because it's like, one hand you have, oh yeah, we're gonna keep Viola Davis, which by the way Viola Davis, she's literally black excellence. She's fantastic. I mean, she's great as Amanda Waller, but I mean, she's great everything in general. So like, black excellence, number one. Black History Month, of course. By the way, speaking of Black History Month, if you guys hated this month's episode of Best Things About Pro Wrestling this month, as a black dude, I'm not gonna lie. If you hate this podcast, I'm not gonna lie, you're racist.
But to be fair, I am the whitest man that's ever lived. So I mean, you kind of have to factor that in as well. That could probably play into it.
I mean, true. What I'm trying to say is that if they hate my part.
Okay, sorry. Like all my... You can hate 50%.
Okay. Yes. Exactly. If you hate my part of the show, then you're absolutely racist, of course. I'm joking, of course, but for real, though. But yeah, like, one time they keep Viola Davis and they keep that character. They're keeping the Peacemaker stuff, but also they want to make a brand new Superman film, a brand new Batman film. Which, by the way, if you ask me who I'm gonna cast as Batman, like 5 years ago, I would have said Armie Hammer, just because I think he's a perfect casting for. Because he was casted as Batman in one of the Justice League film, which, man, I read the script, the leaked script, and George Miller's direct as the director. I was like, oh my god, this movie would have been gas. I'm not gonna lie, but yeah, now I can't make that casting anymore because Armie Hammer is problematic to say the least. So I can't do that. But yeah, like one, I don't know. It's just very confusing. But you know, we'll wait till like, I don't know, 2025 to like see what happens. But yeah. But hey, you're not here for my shitty opinions on the DCU or MCU, although, you know, wrestling and comic books are basically the same thing. And speaking of which, I got one question for you, all right? Do you think professional wrestling is as convoluted as comic books? If you agree, if so, why?
I don't think so. I mean, I think wrestling is convoluted, but I also think that, I mean, comic books are the most convoluted thing in the whole world. They're so convoluted that they reset them every, I don't know, 5 to 10 years because they get so big and so out of hand that they then have to decide, oh, fuck, we got to reset it. Whereas with wrestling, you can't have that hard reset. So you kind of have to sort of make it make some sort of sense. Stories can also still be shit, but I think on a grander scale, I think comic books are definitely more convoluted. People die, then they come back to life, then they die again, then time gets changed, everyone goes back in time. I'd say wrestling's a bit easier to follow.
Yeah, I mean, if you're an NXT fan, you watch NXT every week and then you watch them go to the main roster, you're like, why is LA Knight calling himself Max Dupri? And why is he a model all of a sudden? Like, what the fuck is this shit? But yeah, shout out to LA Knight. He's great. Yeah. Let's just talk about January, because I feel like this month worth of wrestling was, it feels like a year's worth of content like squished into a month of January. So how do you feel about January as a casual wrestling fan? Like, how do you feel about this month? Because I feel like there's a lot of shit happened during January.
Yeah. So I as you mentioned, casual there. I'm kind of like a weird in the middle. So I'm like encyclopedic knowledge of like a lot of years. And then for the last few years, especially for Raw and SmackDown, I have completely fallen off. And then I'm a little bit more AEW. AEW kind of got me back into it just in the last few years, because I know that's kind of everyone's story of like, I used to watch it, but I mean like from 2000 to like 2017, I was pretty watching it nonstop or keeping up with it. And then it was around, because obviously CM Punk, Summer of Punk, all that stuff, that was very, very big back when I was younger. So that was kind of what got me like fully 100% back in. And then Daniel Bryan as well. And so when the two of them popped up at AEW, I was like, cool, what's going on over here? Who's this guy? Yeah. Who's Hook? And you know how it is. You get involved with it. And then you see Hook and you're like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. But I think actually, this isn't to do with January 2023, but the Hook debut, and I showed this to Sean, and I had to do, because Sean doesn't like, well, it's not that he doesn't like wrestling, he's just never watched wrestling. And so every so often, there's a point to the story, I promise, it's coming back around. But every so often, a story is so good that I basically have to like try and fill him in on all of the memes or the Twitter conversation and like why it's funny. So I was trying to explain Hook for like about 2 hours, being like, no, he does nothing. He's in the background. He's really handsome. He's Taz's son. He hasn't done anything for about 2 years. And now he's having his first match. And then we watched it and he was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then I was like, no, that's the best thing I've ever seen. So, because it was just funny. And so it's the same, for example, this week, I gave him the full rundown of the Sami Zayn storyline before we recorded Weird News Wednesday, which is our show that we put out. And it took 45 minutes because I had to give him the whole conversation of, because Sean's really, really good with like comic books and movies. So you break it down like that. So I was like, Sami Zayn is basically the uncool kid and he gets invited into the cool kids group and he can't believe his luck and he's just trying to stick around. But his old friend is like, I liked you when you were uncool. And then there's that whole big thing going on in the middle of the storyline, which, to be honest, I don't think we can start anywhere else for this month. And I would say, I think that's probably the best storyline they've done in years. The last storyline that would compare it to is Daniel Bryan 2014, but they like made that up. They fell completely on that. They didn't even write that. So
yeah,
I would say Sami Zayn is definitely the best in probably the last decade.
No, I agree. You know, one of the things that shocked me about Hook was, number one, I was shocked the fact that he was Taz's son. That was the thing that shocked me. And number, the other thing that shocked me was like the other one, and this is something like Black Twitter and especially like, you know, the non-white side of the internet was shocked. Was like, I don't know if you know this, but like Taz is Italian. I was like, yo, this motherfucker is white. This dude looks Puerto Rican, my dude. Like, what the fuck?
I didn't know that.
I was like, what? This motherfucker is white? I was like, oh my god, man. Oh my god. Next thing you know, man, this is that was a plot twist. I'm literally like, I remember that side of the internet reacted when they found out that he was basically a white dude. People were like, what the fuck? It was like a Ryan Johnson, you know, Knives Out kind of moment. Like, what the fuck was going on?
He's been lying to us for years.
I was like, what? I thought you were like Cuban or Puerto Rican at best. That motherfucker.
We should have known when he was walking to the ring making that ravioli. We should have known.
But to be fair, and I've made this joke for many, many years, I've always said, Italians, in my opinion, are POCs, number one. And number two, Italians, and I've said this for many, many years to like my friends or whatever, I've said this, Italians are basically like one step closer from being called the San N-word, basically. I have said this for years, but yeah, it is what it is. Let's move on. I've said this for...
I'm interested to see how you get back to Sami Zayn from this.
Oh yeah, that's what I, you know, to quote Mark Henry, that's what I do. You know, I talk about Italians being POCs, and then I just move on to.
You got plenty other more stuff, left like... in the tank.
Oh yeah, I do exactly. But yeah, speaking of a person who has plenty of more in the tank, obviously we got to talk about my first highlight of. The best things about pro wrestling in the month of January 2023 is, of course, the debut of Sasha Banks appearing in New Japan. Her new her new name is now Mercedes, not Monet, it's Mercedes Money. So she showed up at New Japan Wrestle Kingdom. She exploded, like social media went insane, especially considering that, you know, when people think of Wrestle Kingdom, they think of like the great matches and the great spectacle, and especially, I mean, mostly the matches, but yeah. And as I said earlier in the intro, like one of the honorable mentions is Kenny Omega versus Kazuchika Okada and Jay White for the IWGP title. That was like one of the honorable mentions because that event especially was pretty cool. But yeah, let's talk about Mercedes Money. First of all, that theme song is a banger, number one. I listened to that theme song like at least a billion fucking times. And number two, the fact that the latest New Japan show that's coming in San Jose, California, the fact that it basically sold out, it kind of proves, in my opinion, that like Sasha Banks is a draw. And the fact that, you know, the rumors and the talk has been going around that like WWE basically didn't pay her what she's worth, basically. And now the fact that she almost sold out a New Japan show in San Jose facing Kairi Sane, Kairi Sane for the women's title. Kind of proves that, like, in my opinion, that Sasha Banks, aka Mercedes Moné, is a fucking draw, in my opinion. And I feel like WWE kind of fumbled the bag on not, you know, having her stay and not having, not paying her what she's worth, what she's earned and worth, basically. But to be fair, she also said on a Talk is Jericho episode, a podcast like 7 years ago at this point, she was like, I always wanted to wrestle in New Japan. I always wanted to wrestle in Japan. So, I mean, back then it was just Japan. I mean, it was Stardom because I don't think New Japan had a women's division back then. But you get my point, right? She always wanted to wrestle in New Japan. So let me ask you this. I know I'm going to assume you've checked out. I'm going to assume you've at least heard that Sasha Banks / Mercedes Moné debuted in New Japan. If so, what are your thoughts on it? And if you haven't seen it, what are your thoughts on, like, Sasha Banks or, like, Mercedes Moné as a whole in WWE and her career so far? Like, what are your thoughts, basically?
What I will say is she looked nervous coming out. that was the first thing that stood out to me. I was like, she's okay. So nervous because I think she has always been talking about going.
I think she was nervous because of the money. But there you go.
I think when she came out, it was a massive reaction. Obviously, she's such a big get. Because, like, in terms of name recognition, she's probably the biggest you can go other than obviously one of the other three. So you got Becky, you got Charlotte, you got Bailey. But I wouldn't put Bailey up with Sasha. But she also has, like, say, TV show recognition. She's got all that recognition coming across with her. And in that regard, I mean, that's such a big guess, especially with Kairi Sane. The two of them are going to, like, tear the house down. You just know they are. I'm interested more in where AEW comes into this, because I know there was a lot of rumors that she was going there, and then there was that episode where they were like, was it Paige? Or, well, Saraya now, she's like, has the tag team partner, and everyone was kind of waiting. And then it just turned out to be Tony Storm, and everyone was like,
Storm.
Oh, cool. Great. So is it a case that she's just doing Japan, or will she eventually end up in AEW? I don't think anyone knows at the minute. I could see her working both, really.
I mean, to be fair, was I the only one that felt like, oh, she's probably not going to show up? I think it's probably Tony Storm. I don't know. I was just one of, like, five people, whatever.
I got the impression that I think Tony Khan was like, he was trying for it, and that he set that tag team matchup like a month out to be like, I'm going to try and convince her. And if it doesn't happen, at least we got Tony Storm in the background that I can kind of throw her in.
That could be it. That is an insightful take, because I didn't look at it. Yeah, it could happen as well. But, you know, I mean, Tony Storm is great. So, like, either way, I'm not mad at it, but it is what it is. I mean, that episode of Dynamite was pretty cool. I mean, they had the whole new look, the whole set and everything. So, yeah,
Dynamite hasn't been missing a lot this month. I mean, in terms of, like, weekly product, I know they had quite a few months there at the end of last year where they were just kind of, they had a lot of injuries, they had a lot of people missing, but it was kind of just middling. But I mean, since, like, December, every single week you're getting like a 7 or 8 out of 10, no matter what.
You know what's funny? Like, last year I was like, you know what? I feel like AEW's, like, quote unquote honeymoon phase has ended.
Yeah.
But now because not only the new look and the new intro and everything, I mean, it's the same intro, but, like, you get more. It's the new look, the new set, and everything. And also, like, the fact that, you know, the episodes have been really, really good, especially the in-ring product. I mean, that's AEW's biggest strength is the in-ring product, the in-ring psychology, like, the in-ring wrestling side of the industry, right? And that's one of the that's their not only their strength, but also the fact that because of these factors, and also the fact that the women's division low-key has improved. Which, by the way, to be fair, I felt that way, like, around this time last year. But now, and then it went right back to shit, and then it just improved again. I don't know, but still, like, AEW's honeymoon phase is coming back slowly but surely.
It was never really, like, even in terms of the performers, like, the performers are all world class. It was just Tony won't put them on the fucking show, or he'll give them one segment, and then it's just like, all right, cool, you got one segment, 15 minutes, and then he just moves on. But you got roster that is like, just nobody is bad. Everybody is going to be good.
It's good.
And you can put anyone together with anyone, you're going to get a fucking banger. And especially like now with all the hires that came in across from either NXT or WWE or even free agents that came in, like you can't really go wrong. Just in terms of name recognition as well. Like if they had got Saraya and they had got Mercedes Monet, as you say, but if they had got the two of them, I mean, that's two fucking massive signings in a row. One of them is pretty good. If you got the two of them, fucking even better.
Oh yeah, that is true. You know, like getting both of them is even better. I feel like this has nothing to do with Mercedes Money or Saraya, but like I feel like when Adam Cole showed up at AEW, I think it was All Out or All Out 2021, if I'm not mistaken, when he showed, I feel like I bet Triple H was like, "Fuck."
Well, that happened. I mean, this month was his return as well. That was, I mean, the whole downfall of the show. Well, not the downfall, but you know what I mean. The decline in the quality of the show came when you had all those suspensions. It was all the big fallout that happened. And then Cole was out with the concussion. And I mean, they're fucking massive stars. You lose Punk, Omega, the Young Bucks, and Adam Cole in one night. That's five A-plus people in one go, or four A-plus people. So, like, Adam Cole coming back, that reaction, I was actually so delighted for him. And then even the promo itself was so good, with the, like, good news, bad news, and the bad news is for the rest of the roster, because he's back to fuck shit up. I think, like, he's so good and can be used in so many ways. And those reactions he gets are always massive. And so yeah, I think his promo segment was one of my favorite things from this month, definitely.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Adam Cole is injured. I don't know. I watched his Twitch channel the other week. That dude was perfectly fine. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, let's just, I don't know. Like I literally watch his Twitch channel, The Chunks. I literally just watch it from time to time because I'm like so bored. He just plays a lot of Halo and plays video games, but also like a lot of Halos and a lot of like basically just Halo in general, because he's
also the world's nicest man. So
he is.
A complete bastard on the screen, world's nicest man off screen.
What's with like people are like the nicest people off screen, but they're also complete assholes on screen? I don't know why.
I always kind of like that.
Like Stephanie McMahon, for example, like she seems like a very nice person, but she can play as a spoiled brat like pretty fucking well. Like a very like capitalist, exploitative, like spoiled brat piece of crap, basically. And she's like in real life, she's like she seems like a very nice person. I don't know why. Like,
well, I mean, if we want to go the other way, you also have absolute pieces of crap that come across like good people. And I mean, there's one guy and his initials are HH, and he did it for fucking years.
Oh yeah, true. I'll never forgive. I mean, it has nothing to do with Triple H really, but that storyline, Booker T, man. Oh my god, man! Like as a black dude, man, I saw this. I was like, what?
It's the 19 seconds after the pedigree. That's what'll kill you.
Yeah, that's the worst than the racism part for me. It was like, what the fuck?
Because that's more like, no, you're a fucking shit. Like, that's, I'm waiting 19 seconds to get the pin.
I was like, why can't they just have Booker T win the title and just have him lose like the next night or some shit? I don't know. Like, dude, I don't know, man. It's crazy, man. Like, I shouldn't be talking about this. This is Black History Month, man. We should promote Black excellence.
I was going to bring up in terms of the Royal Rumble. What did you think of Cody winning, and what do they do now for WrestleMania?
First of all, let's just get this out of the way. Cody Rhodes is a revolutionary white ally. Let's just get this out
he
of the way.
He solved racism, so that's pretty good.
He solved racism. Yeah, that's pretty good. He was you know, he was like, you could say a mix between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. You know, you could say he's, I don't know. He's like maybe a bit of Fred Hampton, maybe a little bit of Thomas Sankara. I don't fucking know, but you know, shout out Cody Rhodes, man. Just, I mean, I don't like promote. I mean, usually I wouldn't promote white people doing Black History Month, but you know, because he's a white ally, you know, he solves racism, you know, with that one promo. It's like, you know, shout out to Cody Rhodes, by the way. Speaking of Cody Rhodes, he had a podcast appearance with Logan Paul, another person who solved racism, by the way, with his Black Lives Matter. Basically, he was in support for Black Lives Matter like back in 2020. So yeah, another dude that solved racism, both white, both blonde, and both anti-racist. Shout out to them. But yeah, Cody Rhodes winning the Royal Rumble was fucking awesome. In my opinion, not only because, like I said earlier, white ally, but also because I think it's a different match it's a different opponent for Roman Reigns. Because I feel like, I don't know if it's just me, but like for the past like year or so, like Roman's been facing the same exact opponents, the same exact people, or the same exact set of people with the same exact style of people. So it's one of those things where, like, when the Sami Zayn storyline happened, like when him. When he basically became a little oozy, basically, I was like hoping for Sami Zayn to like win the whole thing, just because, you know, you could tell this great story where like you could like see some dissension. But now seeing the ending, which, by the way, because since my second and third best thing about pro wrestling this month is the Royal Rumble, I'm just gonna say it right now, that ending. Of Royal Rumble 2023. And I've been a wrestling fan for 15 years now. No, 16 years now. Honestly, this is the greatest ending I've ever seen to a pro wrestling show. Like, legit. This is by far the best ending, not only for wrestling this month, but the best wrestling ending I've ever seen in my entire wrestling fandom. And
it's the fact that the commentary team sat out that made it even better. That they were just silent. They just let it happen. I think that's the sign of the three of them. They had a good night, but like that's the best call they did, by just not interrupting. Let the ring mics pick up what was going on, and just I know the audience in the arena can't hear what's going on, but at home, it's like a proper drama. Like it's an actual like a thriller.
Drama, yeah.
We're watching our hero in this absolutely terrible situation trying to get out of it.
I mean, by the way, we're recording this. I'm going to release the episode like this coming Thursday. Like, SmackDown is going to happen like at several hours from now. For all I know, I don't know. Like, Cody Rhodes will like, you know, become the head of the Chief. I don't fucking know. I don't know what happens. It's WWE. They're whatever.
Could you see it happening? Could you see first night Sammy faces Roman, second night Cody faces Roman?
That's what I thought. But then I was listening to, shout out to Jason Solomon, the Solomon Monster. He brought up a great point that like I could also see Sami Zayn teaming up with Kevin Owens to face the Usos. But since like Jey Uso was like, you know, since Jey Uso gave like best supporting actor kind of performance in that Bloodline storyline, give that dude all the Oscars, by the way. Forget about all the nominees that happened on the Oscars. Forget about them. Just give Jey Uso all the Oscars. Give him even best original song. Just give it to him. I don't care. Does it make sense? I don't know. Who cares? Come on, Academy members, Jey Uso, all the Oscars. Another situation I could also see is, I think that's the two nights that I could see Sami Zayn, you know, face Roman at night one and then face Cody was night two. They could just split up the titles. But, my bad, hit that 5-star for that great burp that I just did. But one of the things that I could see this match, I could see this WrestleMania panning out, was that you're going to see the first encounter between Sammy and Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view or PLE at Montreal, and then they could have the rematch at WrestleMania, similar to like Kofi Mania, basically, where Kofi had the title shot at the Elimination Chamber in the structure itself, and then he won back the title at WrestleMania. So I could see that happening as well. But yeah, anything is... It's just, you know, anything happens in professional wrestling. You know, you never see never, but yeah, it's just, we'll see what happens from there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I personally take that Sabu win the first night is better. I know they are going to Montreal for the Chamber, like, and that is the story you want to tell, because in Montreal, Sabu will be, like, him and Kevin are basically Bret Hart in Montreal now, so they'll get, the reactions they'll get will be out of this world.
Yeah.
I mean, you could also do with that, like, he's, I know it's a bit of a cop-out, but, like, that you do the tag team match at Elimination Chamber, and then, but I think that's just me being like, I want Sami versus Roman.
Roman.
And then Cody can win the second belt on the second night, and everyone's like, cool, Cody, you're pretty good, but Sami is, that's the one we all want to see.
Yeah, yeah. You know what's funny? I don't know, but like, before the storyline happened, I was kind of sick and tired of Sami Zayn as a heel. I'm not gonna lie. I thought that Sami heel stuff was like kind of getting stale, not only because it was getting stale by that point, but also, like, I feel like that's just not him. You know what I mean? He's such a likable guy. You know what I mean? Such a likable guy, such a likable presence. You know what I mean? He has great, you know, like, he's very progressive in his part. Like, he's very progressive. He's just a very likable guy that wants to see get the, you know, like.
And really, him and Jay are the strongest actors, I would say.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing. Like, the two of them make it work.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like I said, Jey Uso, give him all the Oscars. You know, I love Best Original Song. I feel like that should go to Natu Natu from RRR. Great film, by the way. Give Jey Uso all the Oscars, all of it. Pull a Return of the King on this dude. But at one of that Oscar, I don't know, it was like 2004, 2005 Oscars. I don't know, when Lord of the Rings Return of the King basically won everything. It was like the Triple H of...
I think that was... Twin Towers is 02, so Return of the King was 06?
It was 03 or 04, I'm not so sure.
Oh, was it? But okay. Yeah, I'm very old. I don't know. Mean, I can't remember. No, what was I going to say? In regards to Sami and Jay, like, that scene is made so much better by Sami not attacking anyone else, and then turning around, dropping the chair, and just being like, I'm really sorry. And it's like the Ralph Wiggum thing. You can see the moment Jay's heart breaks. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, why did you do that? Like, I just dedicate everything to try and get you into this fucking team. And you've just betrayed me.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. Like I said, I mean, it's not only just the acting, but it's like I said, this is probably the greatest ending I've ever seen to a, to a wrestling show. I've never seen an ending this close, this good, in my opinion. And I've been a fan for like six...
about the Rumble, though? What annoyed me about the Rumble was that they, first of all, announced Cody coming back beforehand. Made no sense. Just let him come
out. To be fair, we knew he was going to come anyways.
But it's one of those where you know he's there, but you don't say it, but everyone kind of knows. And then, secondly... why have Gunther go from number one to the end and then Cody come out with number 30 as the big baby face and be like, yay, go over the top rope, you dickhead. Hey. I win. I'm actually a hero.
You know, that is my second best thing about pro wrestling this month was Gunther's performance at the Royal Rumble. He was great. Like, that was a star-making performance. That dude lasted for like, I think he broke Rey Mysterio's record, if I'm not mistaken. Feel like
it was like 72 minutes or something.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, this just, shout out to him, man. They created, and you know, it's funny because it kind of reminds me of when he was at one of that Survivor Series show. It was 2019, Survivor Series 2019, when he was part of Team NXT and he got like squashed quickly. It was like a Survivor Series, like traditional Survivor Series tag team match, like 5-on-5, like basically. And he got like squashed and like within like minutes. Like, it wasn't that long. It wasn't that match for long. So the fact that they went from booking him like shit on the main roster back then to now him being the IC title, having, you know, banger after banger after banger after banger after banger with Sheamus. And now having the... probably the best performance I've seen from him so far in his IC title reign, title run, other than his matches with Sheamus, in the Royal Rumble. I think it's great. I'm glad. Like, first of all, I'm glad Triple H took over so that he can oversee that process. Because I remember I read a rumor that apparently Vince was getting sick of him by that point. You know, typical Vince being very fickle. So, like, I'm very happy that, like, he's getting a decent push. And honestly, he could probably, you know, and this is, I know this is months from now, but I could see him winning Money in the Bank. Other than LA Knight, I could see him being the wild card, winning the briefcase. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but.
They probably were a bit cautious with Cody because obviously he's coming back from the injury. But if Cody was good to go, to me, you have him and Gunther come out 1 and 2. You last the whole end of it. And then they're still standing at the very, very end. And then you have Cody win. Then you make go of them.
Yeah, like Mysterio and Randy Orton.
And Triple H. Was that 06?
Triple H. Yeah, it was 06. But you know, it's funny. This sounds fucked up. But when I think of that run, I think of when Randy Orton said to Rey Mysterio that Eddie was, I'm not going to say it. That was like one of the worst things WWE has ever did, other than, you know, the racism, but and the bigotry, basically, in their storytelling over the years.
All the other really bad things. That's actually bad as well.
This is really, really, yeah. It was just, I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck? But, you know.
Speaking of really terrible people, Vince McMahon is back. The big man is back. Yes, perfect. This is exactly what it needed. So that actually happened also in January of this year.
It did. By the way, speaking of which, and I said this in the intro a little bit earlier. Yeah, this dude has been sued by the billionth shareholder at this point. Even like the shareholder is like, yo, this motherfucker ain't shit, bro. Like, that dude needs to get the fuck out. This 90-year-old corpse, walking Dark Souls level corpse. You know, when you like kill in a Dark Souls game, like that's literally Vince. He's a fucking walking corpse. Like, it was like all the shareholders are like, get the fuck off, bro. Like, what are you trying to do, man? You know? You know, I saw the news. I was like, guys, it's good while it lasted, bro. And it's good while it lasted.
Yeah, I think, and then you see Stephanie step back down. She leaves, and Triple H is still there. The whole thing's a bit of a shit show, but like, yeah, seeing Vince come back, and then we had the news also this month that they were selling to the Saudis, and that was the reason he was back. He only came back to do that.
Apparently, the rumor was, it was reported by DAZN, and then it was reported by the same outlet that I'm now contributing to, because I read articles for them now. Oh my god, what a great way for my reputation too. Like, holy fuck. Just shout out to Cassidy Haynes. He's a great dude, by the way. The fact that he gave me the opportunity to write for bodyslam.net is awesome. Which, by the way, there's going to be new articles coming, so stay tuned, all my three viewers listening. But yeah, it was wild because, like, I announced my contributing for bodyslam.net, and then they reported on the Saudi news, and apparently it was just a rumor. So like, I was like, oh my god, like what the fuck is going on? Like,
the issue is that we, even if it was a rumor, it was one of those where we were like, we can totally see Vince doing exactly, see it happen. That.
Exactly. That was the thing. It was like, oh yeah, Vince is Vince. But also at the same time, like, the Saudis did have like their own golf course kind of league. I'm forgetting what it's called, and they had trouble like selling it to like the TV channels, the rights fees. So I don't see that happening.
They're setting up their own rival golf tournament, and then they just basically paid off all the best golfers to come join it. And then they couldn't get the TV rights deal. But what made me bite on the Saudi deal was the fact that it was Vince coming back in to sell the company to the Saudis. But in my head, I was like, he's only doing that so because the Saudis will then say, well, we're going to keep you in charge. We're just going to buy it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's yeah, that was just what a wild month January was. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, we went from like January 1st is when Mercedes money showed up, and then you had Vince showing up to coming back, but like as a basically a board member. Now he's the chairman, which, by the way, I'm gonna predict right now, I don't think he's gonna be on creative at some point. He might have some influence, but I wouldn't say it's like Triple H. He would basically, it's one of those like reverse moment where like he's gonna give some suggestions to Triple H, but Triple H has the final say now. So that's at best, that's the amount of creative influence Vince is gonna have. But
I mean, it's still Vince, and it's also still his father-in-law. So if Vince is like, I take this, and he's like really adamant, I mean, it's going to have a little more leeway. I think Trips might give it a bit easier. I mean, they've already ruined NXT, but also good for Trips that Regal is back. So at least he's got somebody else in the trenches with him to be like, we're just going to run this properly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and speaking of, I don't know if you, and look, I'm a writer and I'm terrible at transitions. I'm getting bored. This is like my 8th episode so far, and it's like, I'm getting better, but like, I'm still like kind of, I don't know, man, whatever. Hit that 5 stars for that weird tangent.
It's weird for me not doing the transitions, because that's all I do with our show.
Oh yeah, it is weird. But, you know, because, you know, usually I would have somebody do the carry. But, you know, if you play multiplayer games, you know, somebody has to carry you into a victory, especially playing in battle royale games. But now I'm the carrier, and, you know, it's just I'm doing all right, I guess. I don't know. It is what it is. But yeah. Is there anything that you liked about January other than the ending of the Royal Rumble?
Well, I think we've kind of covered. So it was ending the Royal Rumble. We had Adam Cole's return. I can't really think of... I don't think a highlight is Vince. We're definitely not going to put that down as a highlight. The trial of Sami Zayn, but that's all part of the same thing with Sami.
Yeah.
I really loved the... But the Mark Briscoe-Jay Lethal match on Dynamite. That was really, really great. And I mean, look, if the stories are to be believed, Warner Brothers banned them from the week before from kind of touching on it. And then that week they got the go ahead because Tony Khan kind of pushed for it a little bit more. And I really think it was a great idea.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, fuck Warner Brothers. Fuck Warner Brothers for like different reasons. You know, Ezra Miller.
Lots of reasons. Lots of reasons.
Harry Potter, of course. There's a lot of reasons to say fuck Warner Brothers, but this one is definitely one of them. I don't know. I was gonna say, like, you know, fuck Disney too, because of, you know, Marvel, the way they treat the Marvel like visual effects people. Because
But it's important to remember is everyone's a bastard. And we're cool guys. That's the way to live your life. That's the only way.
Yeah, exactly. We're out here consuming at the end of the day. Like, we got nothing to do with this. Exactly.
Call me old fashioned, but I think you should pay people that do work for you. Now, that's all I'm saying.
You know what's funny? You know, Hollywood is actually unionized. Like, pretty much the entire industry is like unionized. And they have a say in their workplace. The only area of Hollywood that isn't unionized is visual effects, which I do think it's gonna happen sooner rather than later. What I mean by soon, like maybe like 10 years, maybe like 5-10 years,
which is crazy because now every movie can't be made without visual effects.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I do think it's exactly. I mean, every movie cannot be made without visual effects, which is why I've always said practical effects is A1. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of time, but like, the budget is way, way lower. You know what I mean? Like, I'm tired. Like, the budget for these movies are like insanely high. Like 100 million, 200 million. I'm like, what the fuck? Who's directing this film? James Cameron? What the fuck?
The best success story I've heard, and this is nothing to do with wrestling, is the original of Deadpool. Course.
Yeah.
And that's like $50 million, and they made like $1 billion. Now, $50 million is a lot of money, but the fact that you've seen like Morbius made for like 150, they made that Deadpool first movie for 50. They just basically made three sets, one on a bridge, and then I think it was like one on the bridge, one in the house, and then they just kind of floated between them.
I mean, somebody had to pay for Jared Leto's method acting, right?
That's true. He's so good. Right. He's a powerful actor. Yeah. He's the greatest actor of our generation.
Of course. Of course, of course. So yeah, I don't know why we went into this weird tangent about Marvel and DC and stuff like that. Because, you know, I mean, you talk about it like pretty much every single week, but I mean, twice a week, depending on the schedule and stuff. But yeah, I'm going to end it right here because it's not only getting, I'm going to end it here because we pretty much covered everything that's great about wrestling the month of January. I was going to say June. I don't know why. Like, it's just, whenever I do these shows, I always say, this is the best thing about pro wrestling in the month of, and it's usually October. So it's the best thing about pro wrestling in the month of April. I'm like, bro, it's been like,
we should do one
April
right now for June and just predict what's happened yeah. in June.
Oh, yeah.
And
we like, could,
wow, that was really good.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Omega had a fantastic match.
Great. I can't believe that wow. Ireland bought the WWE. That's crazy.
Oh, I know.
That's, we don't have no budget. I don't know how we did it.
Yeah, and the theme song is gonna be what's that? Storming on the Dublin Street.
The theme song is now Becky Lynch's original song.
Oh yeah, exactly. Or that that Irish Rebel song that you hear on
Dropkick
YouTube
Murphys.
That I listen. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, just any. But yeah, I appreciate you having on my show, like, cause I feel like. Like I said earlier, this is I'm laying the foundations of what this podcast is going to be because I've had my blog for like 2 years and it was doing well, but like it wasn't doing as well as I wanted to. So I was like, let me just restart everything and just kind of start the podcast game. You know, the only difference is you're like basically two white dudes in a podcast, which is generic, but with a funny accent, and I'm just now a dude with a podcast who's a black dude with a podcast now. So it's like, I guess it's different. I don't know. But yeah, I appreciate you, Connor, for taking the time to be on my very, very, clearly very, very popular wrestling podcast. You know
Look,
what I mean?
I'm just happy to be asked to do anything. My advice to you is find someone with a weird accent. Most importantly, find somebody who sounds like Chris O'Dowd and then allow them. And they're way more talented than you, and then just let them carry it. That's my advice.
I'm just going to have somebody from like Liverpool or something and just have their weird fucking accent.
Go take it.
And just have. True. I mean, because I'm in college right now, and you know, it's Liverpool John Moores right now. It's like their accent is like extremely, extremely funny. And that's coming from, you know, somebody who I'm talking to an Irish person right now. Like, it's just wild.
I hope I hope anyone listening to this understood my accent. If you didn't understand anything, I can only apologize. This is just how I sound every day. It's actually awful. It's a terrible crime. It's horrible to live with. Just think about that.
Just use one of those AI. You know what I mean? Use one of those AI captions. You know what I mean? I mean, it does surprisingly a decent job.
Oh, AI captions cannot capture what I'm saying. Ever. Oh. No, Irish people know. Are immune to AI captures.
Yeah. So, by the way, I'm just going to do the intro, the outro. So follow me on Twitter, @ArmorThePlayerGuy for the memes. And if you want to follow my YouTube and my TikTok, it's the Best Things About Pro Wrestling in Best Things About Pro Wrestling or Best Things About Pro Wrest 1. I just do one of those like vertical slice things, you know, the two talks, the TikToks, which surprisingly have been doing extremely like good numbers. So if you just want to see the clips of the whole thing, if you don't listen to me and dudes with funny accents, then go ahead, you can just listen to like, you know, you can just listen to short bits of me with somebody with a funny accent. So follow me on Twitter, obviously, and rate this show 5 stars if I haven't said it. I think I said it once, right? Did I say it once?
You already said it. Yeah, I said you covered it.
I said it more than one. I don't know. Whatever. So yeah. By the way, that was a joke. By the way, I was being sarcastic. So because I've said it like way too many times, I'm like, oh yeah, I just farted. Hit that 5 stars if you enjoy it. I guess I don't know. See, good old fashioned fart joke. So yeah, hit that 5 stars, and if you do, because I got like 2 5-star ratings so far, and if you actually do it, I'm actually gonna shout you out on the next episode. And by the way, and also hit the 5 stars on Heroes for Hire. By the way, they're killing it right now. They're gonna hit Joe Rogan numbers or John Campion.
We're coming for Joe. We are coming for him. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever reach him, but we're coming for him.
I mean, at least you can go to like the movie version of him. You know, John Campion. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we put up 3 episodes a week. So if you want to check us out as well, that'd be pretty cool. You hear a lot more Irishness, and it's mostly just comic book movies and weird news. That's kind of our niche.
Yeah, it is. And it's, by the way, you've cultivated like a solid fan base, and it's like, it's wild because it's like you talk about so many different things, and yet like you've cultivated this weird but very supportive following, which is something I'm trying to do with my stuff.
But the main thing is that everyone who follows us appears to be nice. That's more important to us. So, because if you're all pretty chill, then it makes everything really easy. It's when you get one or two that are like not part of the, like, just being nice to everyone, and we're like, nah, we're not having that. You gotta just be chill with everyone. I just think that's a better way to live your life. I don't need that hassle. And Sean gets very stressed when people get mean. You know what I mean? He'll cry on a moment's notice. So I just shitting on Sean. No, go on. Please take us out.
Yeah, exactly. So other than that, it's been your boy Omar. I'm talking about the best things about pro wrestling this month in the month of January, and I will see you with a solo episode in the month of February. You know, Black History Month. Yeah, Black Excellence, of course. I'm gonna highlight all, you know, we're just gonna highlight Black Excellence, of course. But yeah, we're just gonna talk about the best things about pro wrestling in the month of February. That's the next time you're gonna see me with a solo show. Until then, take care, and we out.